Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for tonight's show are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. They'll be taking your calls and speaking on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That number again, 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause IM Radio. I am Robert Brining. I am your host, and I'm joined by my co-host every Sunday, Jeremy Dunn. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
I'm fine. This thing is like yelling at me. Hold on. I'm here. Technology. God. If it doesn't plug into a wall or have batteries, I can't use it.
So how are you making out?
How am I making out? Well, that's awfully personal, don't you think? I'm doing okay. I'm just exhausted with this new puppy. It's like having a child.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Oh,
what it is.
Exactly. Oh, but everything else is going pretty well. Just trying to get over a cold and all that jazz.
So that's cool. So you're getting settled in the new place and everything well?
Yes. God, I love the new place. Love it.
Good.
It's funny because we have, you know, two full bedrooms, two full bathrooms, the whole thing. And in the middle of everything is the kitchen and the living room and dining room and all that. So I jokingly refer to it as the Vishnevsky Don estate. And I have the north wing and the south wing. But it's wonderful. I love it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad everything's working out for you.
Tonight
we
have you?
Yeah, well, I'm doing pretty well. Actually, I finally got my partials, my teeth, so now I have back teeth again, thank God. I got them on Friday, and, you know, they take a lot to get used to.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they click in and, you know, and everything, and they're fine, and they're perfect, and I don't mind them, but it's just, I don't know. They take a little bit to get used to. You know, it's hard. It's not like having your own teeth, and that's what I was told. So,
so do you take them out and put them in a glass next to your bed?
Yes, I do. I was talking to my friend Mike last night on Facebook, and he turned around and he was laughing at me. He goes, "You're not even 30, and you're already putting your teeth in a glass with evidence."
Oh, God.
But that's all. You know, that's all that I've been up to, really. Taking care of that and working on a newsletter for the site and stuff like that. But I'm kind of excited today. Tonight we have a special guest, and like I was, you know, trying to do earlier, I'm trying to bring people on that are making a difference in the HIV/AIDS community, and I want people to see that they can still go on and do things, and there's plenty of people and sources out there. And the guest that we're going to have on tonight is Brian Levinson, and he is the founder of Strength in Numbers, which is a big social group for HIV-positive gay men. And it's done through Yahoo. And it's very interesting because there's chapters all over. And I'll let him explain all that when he comes on. So, you know what I mean? He can come on
mm-hmm.
and explain exactly what it is. I don't want to get too much into it. But it's very, very interesting how it's kind of, you know, similar to what POSIM is, but it's not. It's very different how it's all within social and actually doing things in your group. You know what I mean? Where mine's more of like the online thing, where theirs are actually like getting out there and having a bar night and going to the movies and going bowling and going on a sin cruise they have coming up is one of the things that we're going to talk about. He has coming up soon is a big old cruise, which sounds like a lot of fun.
A big old cruise.
A big old cruise. I've been afraid to go on cruises, but...
Oh, I'm terrified. The closest I ever came to being on a cruise was touring the Queen Mary in Long Beach. you couldn't. You know, I saw the movie Titanic. I did. And,
so do I.
And I don't care where you are. Icebergs flow from everywhere. You could, sorry, Brian, but I know you guys are all going down to Mexico, but you could hit an iceberg. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I'm not worried about an iceberg. I'm worried about somebody tossing me over or something.
Well, and there and when are we having Brian call in, by the way?
He'll be calling in about 4 minutes.
In about 4 minutes.
He's going to call in at 10 after.
Okay, 4 minutes. So 4 minutes to go, and we'll have Brian on, and you guys can stop listening to me ramble on.
But before we have him come on, I just want to let you know, as some people know, and if it's your first time listening, you might not know, we also do Pause AM Radio on Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m., where I co-host with a gentleman by the name of Joshua. And we're doing a show on depression on this Wednesday coming up. That may be something that you want to check out. And we also have some good interviews that I'll go over at the end of the show that are coming up for the rest of March. But we have this new member that just joined from an HIV campground project.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent out a lot of invites. And, like, seriously, over the last week, we've had about 47 new members join. And it's just been, like, really overwhelming. And he sent it out to his group, I guess, that he has for the campground. And it's brought a lot of people in. So I just wanted to kind of thank him. And I didn't. And he's posting events about the campground. And the website is actually HIV/campground/project.org. And I just wanted to thank him for doing that, because he didn't have to go out and send that out to everybody, but I thought it was kind of cool. So
that is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it's an HIV campground. So it's a camp. Is it for adults? Is it for children?
I think it's for adults.
Okay.
I think it's just for adults.
Are there bears?
I'm sure. There's always bears in the woods, aren't there?
There's always a bear in the forest. Grr.
Right?
I'm in rare form tonight.
So have I talked to you since your interview? No, I haven't, right?
No, you have. I did the interview.
Right.
For those who didn't know, I interviewed Jack McEnroth for my site called PositivelySpeaking.com. And I'm still, like, halfway through this article, because it's the first time I actually interviewed somebody for my blog. So I'm taking my time with it, but I want to get it done within the next week. I was hoping to have it done this weekend, and, of course, that didn't happen. So I've got it up and ready. I've got my notebook out, and so I'll be finishing it up by Tuesday. But I'm really looking forward to getting it published. I got to say, Jack McEnroth was thrilling to talk to one-on-one. It was great. And for all you single men out there, Jack wanted me to tell folks that he is single. So if you're interested, Jack McEnroth is single. You can go and find him at jackmcenroth.com. He is a hottie, boys. He is he's scrumdiddlyumptious.
And then the funny thing about that is that you mentioned him is Jack McEnroth is also a part of Sin New York, because they have different what they call chapters, which is groups that organize in different cities throughout the world, actually. And I'm 100% positive that he's a part of that New York Sin, which is kind of really cool too.
Oh, and boys, Brian Levinson is single too. So if you're not following along in the chat room, Brian is single. And I think Brian's going to be calling in just a few seconds.
Yeah.
So we can let him do his own personal ad, but I will be glad to pimp him out. Boys, Brian Levinson is single, and he's hot. So please. I've seen a couple of pictures on Paz I Am of Brian. So he's a good looking boy, man.
Right.
Not boy.
Well,
Sorry.
He's too busy. Stop talking to him in the chat room, or he ain't calling in. He's too busy chatting.
He's too busy just sitting there typing. Okay, put the keyboard down, Brian, and dial the phone. But this ought to be fun.
All right, well, here he is. We have him
calling. Is he on?
Hi, Brian, guys.
Well, hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. And, you know, I'm actually pretty good at pimping myself out. So I lived in Hollywood. I know how to go down to – I would go down to Santa Monica and Vermont in Los Feliz and pimp there. And then if that wasn't working, you know, I'd head down Santa Monica west. And usually by, like, La Cienega, you know, I'd be set.
Uh-huh.
So for those that know L.A.
Well, here's a little frightening tidbit for you. When I moved out on my own for the first time, I shacked up with three other people in a house out in La Mirada, which is one block north of Vermont and Santa Monica.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. Okay.
You never know. We might have waved at each other.
And now I live in San Francisco, so, you know, and there's so few gay men here. It's
you know, I know.
No, I am
I've
single, but I.
Where are they all?
I'm single, but I'm. My dance card is doing okay. It's not
good.
It's not as full as I would like, but you know, it's okay. So how are you guys?
We're great. Well, we want to talk about you. We want
great.
To talk about Sin.
Okay.
We want to talk.
Perfect.
I want to know what it's like. To sin?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's so funny. When I started this group, it started in 2002. I had tested positive in Los Angeles when I was living there in June 2000, and I started doing a lot of volunteer work. That was my way of coping with the results, you know, with the diagnosis. And I started going to a lot of the quasi-social events because I wanted to meet other positive guys. I mean, I'm Jewish, so maybe I thought a husband would fix everything. I mean, that's typically, they teach us that in synagogue, you know, the husband will
a
fix
doctor,
everything.
No
so
way,
I thought
right.
If I find another positive guy, I'll all be fixed. But, you know, one of the big things I realized was that positive guys were really isolated and they were dealing with a lot of discrimination and misconceptions within the gay community itself, let alone in larger societies. So I went to these events and started volunteering and really got into that, and then I thought there might be a better way than what the aid service organizations were presenting, which were very kind of clinical. You know, I mean, they were, you know, more focused on HIV prevention, which is incredibly important, but a lot of guys just wanted to go there and just be themselves and just get to know other people and maybe not feel like there was a message being, you know, sort of hammered on their head. So we came up with the idea of doing a private potluck, a potluck in a private house, and giving guys the privacy so they could meet each other. And then one of the goals was to have guys go around the potluck who were, like, not matchmakers, but they were social hosts so they could help guys feel comfortable and get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that if anybody was sort of a shy wallflower, we would draw them into conversations, and that made the biggest difference, and that's been a big secret of success for the Sin group. So we started the group, and this potluck took off, and we had 50 guys at the first one. We went from there, and you know, we were doing it every couple of months, and then we started growing, and you know, soon we were several hundred guys. And I figured out we needed a name. You know, we need a name for this group. And I wanted to avoid using HIV or PAWS or AIDS in the name of the group because, again, it was a privacy thing. I wanted guys to be able to join the group and not have anybody think that automatically know they were positive because they were going to some website.
Right.
You know? So, like, unfortunately, PAWS I am, if that pops up on your web browser, you know, some people might feel worried about that, and I didn't want any of that. So right. I came up with the idea of trying to think of another name. And what's the first thing that positive people ask each other? What are your numbers? I mean, that's one of the first things is, you know, what are your numbers? You know, are your T-cells good? That kind of thing.
Oh, those then, numbers.
What are your digits? And then strength and number. Then I started thinking about, well, what's a term with numbers? And then strength and numbers came out of that. And you know what? It took me months to figure out that the acronym was SIN.
Really?
I did not get it. I did not. I'm a lawyer. I went to law school. I'm pretty bright. You know, I'm pretty savvy. I came up with this cool name. I swear to God, it took like 3 months before somebody pointed out to me that the acronym was SIN.
Brian, and you're so pretty.
I had a, thank God, not as pretty as Jack McEnroth, but, you know, I got a big butt. So I got a great man butt. And and somebody said, I'm going to go to that sin party of yours. And I got offended. I'm like, it's not sinful.
It's
and then they had
sin.
Explained to me, you know, like I was a fucking idiot, stupid idiot, that it was the acronym. So that's to say, you know, what does it mean to be in sin is actually a funny story. And the main thing is it's changed my life, and it's really changed the lives of a lot of guys who get involved. You know, and one thing I want to clarify is that it's not its own independent network. What my real vision was to help draw all of these different social groups that focus on HIV-positive gay men and people of any type into
right.
one sort of connected association so we could all connect, we could all contact each other. So we work a lot with other social groups that don't have the SIN name. I frankly don't care. I think HIV doesn't care what social network or website you're on. You know, it doesn't see any difference, so why should we?
Right.
I think that's amazing.
And
so,
you started that 2 years
so, I've,
after,
so I've always been – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said you started that 2 years after your diagnosis, right?
That's right. That's right.
So that's pretty incredible to be able to – how do I want to put it? To be able to, I guess, accept yourself and go through the motions. Because me, it took me 5 years to even accept the fact that I was and to actually go, you know, a little public with it on the internet. And for you to do that within 2 years, that's pretty incredible.
Well, both my parents are doctors, and my brother is a trained paramedic. So I think that medical background gave me,
right.
you know, gave me an understanding that I had something that I could manage. Now it's, you know, HIV can become AIDS, and that's incredibly dangerous. And potentially deadly, and it does change your life forever. But I think because I knew so much about medicine that I understood that it was a medical condition that had happened to me and I needed to deal with it. It did not cure all of my issues about my feelings about me getting HIV. I still had shame. I still was, you know, worried about telling guys and getting rejected. That still was there. But I think my fears about the disease were lessened because I had this upbringing that was all based in medicine.
Based
now
back.
it took me like another 8 years to really come to admit that I'm a bottom. That was like a huge that was like a major thing. And then
really?
Yeah,
I'm
no. Actually, we won't go there.
Just remember that we have women in the chat room too listening.
Women
got it.
Can
okay.
be bottoms too.
But
right,
you know,
ladies?
And one of the things, well, you know, I'm glad we're laughing because one of the things that I've always tried to bring to our groups is a sense of humor, not to diminish that we're living with a very serious illness, HIV, but to bring at least some levity into the picture, because if you don't have that sort of humor, particularly in a social setting, it's going to be, you know, you just can't make it. And I think by drawing in that humor, and quite honestly, it's a social association for gay men. So sex is a pretty common topic. And
right.
if you don't admit to that, then I think you start trying to bury it under the rug. And that's not healthy either. I mean, we're not a sexual group. We don't allow sexual messages on any of our message boards or any of our websites.
Don't you hate that? I mean, don't you, like, it's, for me, it's very hard for me to control Because when people join and they upload photos and stuff like that, so I take care of all that. So I understand.
Does that take up a lot of your time? I mean, does that take up time? Okay.
Yeah.
I think over time, guys have learned that, and I think they've come to really respect it.
Right.
Because for some guys, that really is the only outlet they have. They only know how to go to the sex sites like Manhunt and things like that. And that's the only way they really know how to communicate with other guys, particularly when it comes to HIV. That might be the only place they think that they can find other HIV-positive guys in a private, secure setting.
Right.
And that behavior doesn't go away just because they join a social group. They actually have to... Are you living on the tracks? I mean, are times bad, or was that a train?
The train just went by.
Got it. Okay. We have foghorns here, so I don't. But anyway, so it's been interesting to watch guys come into the group because sometimes they'll be highly sexualized. They'll really have that might be the only way they know how to connect with other men. And then to watch them come into a group of guys who really become friends. Some have dated, some have had sex with each other, but primarily they really start to cherish the friendships they make. And to watch these guys relearn or learn how to just have non-sexual friends and male intimacy is really powerful. And, you know, that's a great thing, so...
That is a great thing. Do you think also, and now just kind of on a serious side of things, is, you know, when I found out when I was HIV positive, I felt that a part of my humanity was taken away from me. And it wasn't for many years after that I realized that, you know what, just because I have this disease doesn't mean I'm any less human or any less of a person. Do you think...
I felt that. I think that's important for men, women, transsexuals, anyone who gets infected with HIV. The reality is our lives are changed forever. And I think one of the most powerful things is to come to terms with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that happens, I think our view of ourselves changes as well, and rightfully so, because we have gone through something that's going to change our lives forever, and that is not easy to cope with. Now, there's all these negative concepts around HIV, negative perceptions and misconceptions, and that colors how we then start to look at our new selves. By being in groups like Strength in Numbers or the other social groups that are out there, or being on a site like Pause I Am, whether you're a man or a woman or transsexual with HIV, it's a way to find positive affirmation to say this new person that you are living with this disease that's going to be with you for the rest of your life, you know, until there's a cure, you've got hope, and now you can start growing into this new phase of your life. But people that either are people that are in total denial about their HIV usually end up getting in trouble because they tend to be the people that don't go to get medical help. They maybe fall into substance abuse as a way of coping with issues, and you know that's not healthy. So I think like your site is incredibly important, and I really hope it's successful. So again, anything we can do through SIN, you know, we're more than happy to help. That's been part of our success too, is we work with everybody.
Yeah.
Again, I've seen this a little bit of territorial posturing that goes on with different groups, and I understand that because those guys have worked hard to get their groups going,
right.
And you know, there's this fear that somebody's going to come along and take over what they started and kick them out. There's been a history of that with HIV organizations, unfortunately, particularly when they first started.
Well, HIV itself has just become so politicized.
It's politicized and it's commercialized. There's
absolutely
a lot of money out there.
Yep.
And that is why we have not yet become a tax-exempt organization, officially tax-exempt, and we've never taken any grants from the federal government, from state governments, from city governments. If we do anything with them, it's through programs that are run through other organizations, so we don't actually take any money in. Because I've seen, even with small social groups, so just to clarify for people what these social groups are, because some people might not know or not have them in their neighborhood. These social groups are groups you join, and usually on an email list, and then the organizers of the group plan different social events. Potlucks are very popular, going to see movies together, going to on picnics, bar nights, things like that where you can be with other, in this case, other HIV-positive gay men. And we do things like go on whitewater rafting, and we're doing this cruise retreat, and the guys in New York, which is an incredibly busy social group. I mean, if people want to see what is the potential of these social groups and how amazing they can be, they should look at David Llewellyn, who runs SYN New York, which Jack McEnroth is part of. They are at synnyc.org, and they are phenomenal. There's like 1,500 guys in the group. They do events every week. They have a bar night once a month that usually gets 200 to 300 guys. Of all types,
wow.
I mean, the diversity is just amazing. Well, New York is incredibly diverse, The ability to draw that diversity out and put it into one spot and they all get along and the claws don't come out is really, that's a great, my hat's off to David and his crew there. They are amazing guys. The guys in Philly, the same thing. So then guys can go and get emotional support from each other, but not in the traditional way of going to an emotional support group where you go to a room once a week, you sit around a table and you talk, which is incredibly beneficial, but sometimes that's not what people want. And I think that this social group concept could work very well with heterosexuals and particularly with women with HIV. And we're already trying to explore that and help women's groups, HIV positive women's groups, explore that and expand on that. There are social groups out there. They're just very small. But I think it could be really important. And then along with that, within our groups, we've been running on Yahoo groups. And I picked that when we started because they're free. And a lot of people know how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahoo updates it and keeps it live. And we don't have to worry about that. So that's why we chose those. And I had thought about starting to build our own website, but I have a background in internet design. When that was the thing in the .com days. So I know how to build websites, I know how to program them, and I know how difficult it is and how quickly the technology can become obsolete. So if we built a website, within 2 years, we'd have to rebuild it, and then that would just be this ongoing expensive process. And because Yahoo Groups is there and it's free and it's always live, we decided to use that, and Yahoo Groups even had me join their advisory committee because we were utilizing them so much.
That's great.
On those groups, people are sharing a lot of information, and so guys will get on there and they say, "I just tested positive. What should I do? Or I'm going to take this new medication. What should I do? Or I'm going to go on Medicare and ADAP, and I don't know who to call," and instantly they will get messages from other people in the group that have that experience. And so there's a lot of information being shared there as well.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, because I think anybody who is either recently diagnosed or is a long-term survivor or in the middle, I think we all need something along the way. Whether it's, I'm changing regimens, or for some of us who have been positive a lot longer, it's like, oh God, my labs just came back and they're really bad.
It's great. People have asked, well, why is this group just for gay men? Why don't you open it up to everyone with HIV? And I realized that's a great ideal, but people are drawn to people who really they have a commonality with.
Right.
So gay men tend to go to live in neighborhoods where other gay men are, and they go to gay bars, and they go to, they join sports groups for gay men, and you know, so there's a bonding there. So if you're talking to other gay men in these groups who have HIV, you can talk about issues like sex, like STDs, you know, like dating, all those kind of things that other people might not understand. And that could be true for HIV-positive women in particular, that they could join these groups, or men, heterosexual men with HIV, join groups and have people truly understand what they're going through, which is really unique to those different types of groups. On a larger macro scale, we all have HIV, so we can all bond in some degree. But when it gets drawn down to more particular private issues like bottoming, then those are issues that some people might not want to hear about. I'm sure there's some straight guys that are like, you know what, I can't handle that. I don't want to hear about it.
Exactly.
You know?
And there's things that I don't want to hear about, frankly.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, don't want to know.
Heterosexual sex, don't want to know, don't want to hear.
You know, I was born cesarean by choice. I said when I was born, I'm not going out of that.
That's got it.
Never been
That's
there.
That's the closest you came to a vagina, and you bypassed it.
Exactly. I'm a twin, and I held on to him for dear life, and I said, I'm not going out of there.
Got it. Okay. Well, we're trying not to totally anger your female audience. Because so, women are, you know, some of my best friends. So.
Exactly. I have some best friends that are women.
Yeah, and one of the messages here in the chat room by Snackwell, she says that peer-based groups are the ones that are the most successful.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect point. And it's interesting, the CDC has actually learned by that, and now they've restructured my, you know, basic understanding. I'm not an expert on AIDS funding in the United States, but from what I had heard, they were starting to focus more of their funding on peer-based groups. So that comment was very wise, because that's the logic. And also more agencies have now turned to groups like ours to because they know that they are effective. You're going to listen to somebody else who's been in your shoes, rather than somebody who was trained or went to school or got a job and is paid to tell you that they understand what you're going through, when, you know, maybe they're not. And so when somebody is also HIV positive, you totally connect to them.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, and besides the HIV being the great equalizer, you've got somebody who's just like you, and you can see that person and say, oh, my God, you and I have the same story. I can't share a story with an African-American woman who's HIV positive. Our stories are going to be very, very different. So, you know, and I think that is an amazing. I just think what you're doing is
awesome. Well, importantly, there you can learn things from each other and still become friends. But I think on some level, that you might not run in the same social circles.
Exactly.
And to expect that to happen is just not realistic. In an immediate sense. But I have been in situations like there's HIV Cruises by Paul Stahlbaum, who's the travel agent doing our Sin Cruise. His website is HIVcruise.com. And those cruises that he does in October, I went on one last October, are for anybody with HIV. So there was about 40 heterosexuals on the cruise out of 200 people who were HIV positive. And It was great, because there were a number of people, straight men and straight women with HIV, who I really bonded with. That wasn't true of everybody. There were a number of the heterosexuals really not comfortable with gay men. So in that case, they didn't bond with us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the other people that were, we really bonded with and we learned from. But then again, part of why guys join our social group in some sense is usually they're single and they're looking for somebody to date. And dating with HIV, and I'm sure the heterosexual women and men in your audience can attest to this, dating when you're HIV positive out in the mainstream world is really tricky. So when you can go to something like a bar night or a potluck and all the other people that are HIV positive, You can just be a regular person. Like at our bar nights, you know, a guy can go and not have to worry about his HIV. He can go to the bar night and he can get rejected for all the other normal reasons that gay men reject each other. So,
right.
You know, he can just be, he can be like anybody else.
There's no pressure of saying, you know, I'm HIV positive because he's already known.
Totally. And when you're in that environment, you can see the walls drop down. I mean, everybody's still got their own issues that they got to deal with when they're in a social setting. But once they realize that they are in that space where they don't have that fear of the disclosure hanging over their head because everybody else has got HIV, you can just see the weight come off their shoulders, and they really get to be themselves and not have to worry about that. Meeting somebody they like and then having that conversation hanging over them, like, you know, oh, I'm going to have to tell this guy I'm positive. Is he going to accept me or is he going to reject me? You know, and how badly will he reject me? Will it be a really, really bad experience?
Now there's the sin group. Now, there you said they have bar nights. Now, are they at any bar? Like, is it just like a random bar that's, you know, a gay bar that's in your neighborhood that you're at and you just all go there? Or it's like, is the bar closed down and you have a certain section of the bar?
It depends. It depends. I mean, you know, the real goal, one of the primary goals of sin groups and of any other pos social group I've heard about is privacy, to
right.
really allow guys to be private. And if they want to keep their HIV status a private matter, that you're picking bars where either the entire bar will be for that event. So anybody who's going to the event is also probably positive, or at least knows that that's
right.
the issue and is, you know, much more likely
cool.
to keep it quiet. Or picking a public space, but like in New York, I think they have the upper floor and they put a wristband on you that doesn't say HIV, but it's like a
right.
colored wristband. So you know that anybody who's then wandering through the bar has that wristband and they're part of the HIV night, while the rest of the people in the bar don't have a clue really what it's about. So you can keep your anonymity.
That makes sense.
You know, but that's not true. Some of it, like our groups in LA do, and Denver do breakfasts every couple of weeks or weekly. And, you know, they're sitting with guys, and sometimes guys, you know, in the larger community have come to know that's the HIV group.
Right.
So you are, you know, it's, you have to decide what your comfort level is. Now, because those groups are a little bit visible, though, it is ideal for when guys do find out they're positive, or if they are positive and they're worried about, either they feel lonely, then they know that group's there, and they go and they meet them and say, hey, can I sit with you guys? I've seen, you know, I know that you guys sit here every week. Can I come sit with you? And then at least they've got some visible way of knowing where these guys are.
I think everybody should, whether you're HIV positive or not, should have experiences like that. To be able to walk into a room, there's just so much posturing going on especially when you're dating. I mean, dating is hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add HIV on top of it. Or just you want to go out and meet, you don't even want to date. You just want to go out and maybe have a few drinks and meet somebody
yeah.
new.
Well, because when you are trying to date or meet somebody in a bar, you've got to figure out which personality you're going to be that night. So then, you know, then you got to remember that personality and that name. And, you know, and I'm sure women can attest to that. Either the men are doing that or the women are doing that. So that is a big key to just be yourselves. I mean, the real dream and passion I have is that everybody who's had the real shock of testing positive, because it is a shock to everybody, whether they know it immediately or not, that they are able to connect with other people who are positive and get that sense of peer-to-peer support. I mean, that's my goal, and that's what I've really been looking at. There's this misconception that strength in numbers groups are clubs and that you have to be a member. In my view, any gay man who's tested positive is in our group. You know, we
right.
don't have a membership fee. We don't have any dues. Everybody is welcome, whether they're man or woman, but our focus is on gay men with HIV. My attitude is, you know, you're a member. We're an association. And so when we work with other social groups, the goal there is not to take them over or to push them out of the way. The goal there is to empower them. I mean, that's my whole purpose in this thing that's become my passion. I mean, I have a full-time job. You know, I work 40 more hours a week at a major financial institution. So I have a full plate, but I also spend at least 20 hours a week on Strength in Numbers, helping manage the 50-plus groups we have around the world while also interacting with, you know, a bunch of other HIV groups. We're just starting up in Buenos Aires, and we just we just had a chapter join us from Atlanta. You know, one of the good things about groups being under the Strength in Numbers name is we've started to gain a name recognition. So when guys go to a city, if they see that the SIN group is there, then they know that that's the HIV group and they can join it.
Now, I have a question for you. Like, we were talking before you came on, me and Jeremy, and like, he lives in, is it North Carolina?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Right. In North Carolina, and there isn't a SIN group there. Where I live in Philly, and there is a SIN group here. How can somebody who maybe is listening, who wants to, you know, maybe get more involved and, you know, get out there more, and maybe wants to start a SIN group in their area, how can they do that?
Well, they can contact me or our website. We're at strengthinnumbers.org, so it's all one word, strengthinnumbers.org. My email address is Brian with a Y at strengthinnumbers.org. They can contact me, and I will walk them through the steps. I mean, partly it's us setting up either a Yahoo group or some other kind of web group, email group that they can run that's private, that's not – that you have to join, and it's not visible to the public until you have joined. It's not visible to the public at all. You have to be a member to view anybody in it.
Right. See, that was one of the problems I had with my
And nobody needs to give their full name. You don't have to give a full name. You can give any kind of email address you want. That's fine. Privacy and anonymity is very important. And then what we're really focused on is trying to help them learn the skills of going out and promoting that group, getting guys to join, figuring out where they're going to go. Post information for guys to join, and then starting to plan these events. And the thing that has happened, the thing I've realized after doing this for 7 years, because in September we'll be 7 years old.
That's awesome.
Which, you know, in 7 years, I'm glad we've grown slowly. It's been mostly through word of mouth and through, you know, just whatever free promotion we could do. I'm glad we grew slowly, because that meant that we didn't grow too fast and then overextend ourselves.
You know, hold on one second, bro. I have a caller on the air, and I didn't even know. He's probably been sitting here for a while. Hold on one second for me.
Sure.
I'm involved in your conversation. I feel so bad. Let me see if I can get them on the air.
Uh-oh.
Hello,
you're
caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, who's this?
This is Snackwells HNL from Hawaii.
Hi,
Hawaii. Aloha.
Hey. Everything that you just said is exactly what the CDC has been doing as far as their research around peer-based programs, getting people to get involved and post out everything, which you were doing on your own without anything. You know,
And just quickly, a lot of it, because we weren't getting any funding, a lot of it has been out of my own pocket. Now, I don't want people to build statues for me. if they want to send me hot single men, I'll accept that as payment. But I, you know, a lot of it was me putting in the effort and the money, along with all the other guys in our groups and the other social groups. But, yeah, that's, you know, I think hopefully they were following our lead.
Well, when I used to live in San Francisco, and I worked up in Marin, and just being able to get people to get involved did a lot for, you know, not being so isolated, because Marin doesn't have any gay bars. and so they would have to cross the bridge. So by bringing something to Marin County, that they could meet other positive people that wasn't, like you said, in a support group. Because those, like you said, those things are great, but if you've been positive for 5-10 years and have dealt with, you know, the disclosure issues and the dating issues, then how else do you meet other positive people for the most part, besides online?
That's right.
It's crazy.
There's such a difference in meeting someone face-to-face. And one of the goals was to get people to find out about things online and maybe get to know each other online a little bit, but then get them offline to actually meet in person. And, you know, that's been an issue for the gay male community in particular, is we've become very online. You know, we do a lot of things online of all types, and we're not meeting each other as much as we used to. I mean, in the past, to meet another gay man, you had to get in your car or get on the bus and go somewhere, whether it be a bar, a cafe, a park. You had to actually physically go and do something. And now you can just order in. You know, you can go on different websites and just pick the man you want. Supposedly.
And sometimes what you order, you wish you could return.
Exactly. It's not what they have. False advertising. I mean, you're calling the government. Like, these people were giving me total false advertising.
Hey, I called the Better Business Bureau on some of them.
Got it. I called the Humane Society once. I said, you got to come pick this up. This dog is about to die.
How is the support out there in Hawaii?
What was that?
How is the support in Hawaii?
Yes,
The let's say I'm very opinionated on it for the fact that I lived here from 94 to 2000 and worked for the nonprofit here doing prevention work. And coming back in 05 after being in the Bay Area, it has changed drastically to the point of the support being very social worked, in my opinion. Their only thing of getting other positive people together in with any capacity is around, you know, disclosure workshops or dating workshops. It's all the workshop issues. You know, nobody's doing any kind of social events because, again, the management of the nonprofits who have the funds to do these things aren't trained in how to run a peer-based group. They don't have the experience.
And to point from Hawaii, that's exactly why I started the social group. And you know, one of the things that is driving a lot of agencies is funding. They do things because they're going to get a grant, and so they have to report that back, and they have to put it into a program. That all becomes very clinical, and that's totally. I totally understand that. I get it. But to have that be your only sole social option when you're HIV positive doesn't work because, as the person in Hawaii said, it just becomes very clinical and formulated, and you don't feel like you're having fun. And then the people that are doing it aren't having fun because they're not able to actually do what they want to do. They have to do whatever the government is telling them that they have to do for the payment.
And unless you can raise unrestricted funds, which
Yeah. That's why the prevention with positive money, all agencies are required to use 25% of their prevention money targeting people living with HIV. You could use that funding to create exactly what SIN is, exactly what you know, Pause IM is, because they are prevention even though no prevention words are spoken. Even though
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. My only caution there, though, and I think what's helped us as a social group is that we've really tried to not get too much money into the organization, because the minute you bring in money and people have some power over it, then you start to have the egos, unless you really are focused and you've got some people in place. So I'm really glad that we took our time to build up the network and the practice and the program, because now if we decide that we want to draw in some money to help with promotions or to help train guys on how to run these groups, which is the big issue right now, is you know, a lot of guys don't know how to be – they don't know how to run a social group. I mean, they can barely organize their checkbook. So, you know, so to suddenly organize 50 people coming over for a potluck terrifies some guys, and I didn't realize that. I was born, you know, doing Jewish catering, so I know how to throw a party together, you know, out in the desert with just matzah, and I can just put it together, boom, you know, and it's fabulous. That's not what everybody, not a lot of people have the skills. So,
And also a lot of people want others to do for them. I'll show up to the event, but
that's right.
you know, I don't have the time. I've got my own life. Isn't this, you know, isn't this your thing? You plan it and I'll be there. So
it's also
finding those motivated ones to be able to grasp them and get them involved in the whole dynamic of the organization or program so they feel actually a part of it, like it's theirs.
And that's part of the empowerment, and that's what gets them that's what improves their self-esteem. Because as a person in Hawaii was saying, when you get these guys involved in these groups or heterosexuals, anybody affected with HIV, when you get that chance to actually build the group, because it's peer-based, as the person on the chat room said, is peer-based, and that empowers the individuals that are part of the group. Now, some people may never really want to be involved in the organization because they're busy or it's just not what they're comfortable with. But like in New York, guys have taken – well, they're New Yorkers. I mean, they're doers, you know. So they take an idea and they run with it. When our groups do well, it's because we found somebody like that. There's like Rod in Colorado, Chad in Atlanta, Dave in L.A., these guys who get an idea. Or the other groups like D.C. Young Positives, which is a huge group in Washington, D.C., or San Diego Young Positives or Possibilities. Those groups tend to do the best because they do get somebody like me who's really passionate and is going to stick with it. You know, that's the big thing is consistency, like you doing Pause I Am. I mean, you are consistent with it, and you're and you know to stick with it through the highs and the lows. So if membership isn't great one week, you don't take it personally.
Yeah, hold on a second. Snackwell, I'm going to let you go. I have another caller calling in, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks for talking.
Aloha.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
That was really cool. Let's see if we
all the way from Hawaii.
And Hawaii can contact me too if he wants to help.
Hello,
hello,
caller,
going.
You're on the air. Oh, and they hung up. Whoever it was, someone with the 703 area code hung up. So,
well, there you have it.
That really
well, shout out to the 703.
Yeah, you
hello,
can call back in about
code.
7 minutes. one of the things I wanted to mention, Brian, is see, a lot of what you do is, you know, and your vision is kind of like the same vision that I have with my site, and I find it very inspiring. I have learned a lot just sitting here on the phone with you, having this interview and talking to you on the show. Like, I'm worried about the privacy because I have my homepage available for people to see, and it makes me wonder if
people
don't join.
Well, what you could do ideally is have a masking URL. Now the techie in me comes out. You could have something that covers that up, and we can talk about that later. But that's important. I think that's really important for these groups. They really care about privacy, but then a lot of them tend to have names that aren't private. So if somebody shows up in an event, they can't just say, well, like sin. But I mean, gay men can laugh that off. Like, oh, it's just some group I'm in.
We have our caller back on 703. You with us?
Yes, hi.
Hi, who is calling?
This is Jimmy. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey,
how
Jimmy.
Are you?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jimmy.
I am I'm the vice president of the Hope Foundation here in Washington.
Another great group.
Yes,
another
Hope
great
D.C.
group.
And I just wanted to say, Brian, what a tremendous work you're doing. And I hope somehow, some way, Washington can join the flock because I think it's very important.
You guys are part of the flock. I mean, you guys are on our website, both Hope Foundation and DC Young Positives.
Yes.
And you guys are both doing great things. I'm David Raleigh from DC,
mm-hmm.
Was on the cruise with me. I've known him for years. I know you guys. You guys are doing a lot, trust me, compared to a lot of other places where guys have nothing. There's nothing going on. There's no social support. They feel very isolated. They're really hurting, and on top of that, a lot of HIV services have been cut, so they have nowhere to go. So in D.C., give yourself some credit. You guys are doing really well.
Oh, and absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why I chose D.C. when I tested positive 16 years ago. I was in the military, and I said, I need to find some place, and I found it. And, you know, these socials have been going on since 1988 here, and so I'm very fortunate in that aspect.
And
am I
know,
the
and,
only one that lives in a closeted southern city? Apparently.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, I'm
too
not.
Too many people, sure. Yeah, you're not. You know, one of the things, and I'm very glad that he called from D.C. and from the Hope Foundation, one of the things that is so important is that we all work together. You know, I will work with anyone, any organization, anywhere, unless they're playing me, you know, unless they're trying to,
right.
there's some groups, there was a situation in LA where there was another group and, it became very competitive and I just could not understand that. I mean, we're battling the same deadly virus.
Agreed.
And even if money is involved, to be competitive is just mind-boggling. And it's part of why I left LA. I just could not live in that environment. I love doing what I'm doing, and to feel like I have to compete with somebody to get it done, it just crushes me. And so I want to work with all groups. That's why we work with Hope Foundation and DC Young Positives and Pause I Am. I want all of you to do well.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's got the Strength in Numbers logo on it, I don't care.
Right.
I really don't care. You know,
so what is the Hope Foundation?
We're a nonprofit. It's basically we were a social group, and then we needed some help because we were starting to get so big that we needed money. So we established a nonprofit, you know, to accept donations, so we could get a calling team together, you know, and let people in Washington know that, you know, there's a social support system here in this area, and it's been going on since 1988, and it's I don't think we're ever going to shut our doors down.
How do you find that group? What's the URL?
HopeDC.org.
Okay.
HopeDC.org. I want to tell people that is one of the organizations that helped me found Strength in Numbers. Them and San Diego Possibilities, Pause Seattle, the Hive in New York City, DC Young Positives. Those are the groups that were my inspiration for creating Strength in Numbers. I did not create this out of a vacuum. There were people that went before me that created these. Unfortunately, a lot of those guys have died. So
yeah.
My work is really in honor of them and for the work that guys like Hope Foundation have done.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the people that started this, you know, they're long gone. And, you know, we've had to, you know, to carry on the torch. I've been a member since 1993, and I've been on the board since 1999, and I don't think I'll ever step down. It's a mission that
it's guys like you that really keep these groups going. So thank you for calling in. And
oh,
hopefully I'll get there and I'll meet you.
Hey, absolutely. We're actually having a social next Saturday, Hope and DCYPS combined. I like to combine them as much as I can. You know, Strength in Numbers, that's what it is.
Great. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you. I'll continue listening.
Thank you so much.
And yeah. I want to do a quick plug for the cruise. Do I have time?
Of course you do. This
okay.
is your show.
It's your guys' show. I'm just an honored guest. We are doing our first cruise. Like I said, there's these HIV cruises that Paul Stahlbaum has done. There's a number of other people that do these small cruises. And you go on a regular cruise ship, but you have a core group of HIV-positive people that are in your travel group. And nobody on the cruise knows that you're positive. They don't have any name, you know, listings anywhere that out you. So you get to have privacy, but you're on a regular cruise ship, which is great because on a totally gay ship, you would never hang out with each other because you'd all be too busy. You know what I'm saying? So, on the regular cruise ship, you're sort of stuck together, but
yeah.
You have a lot of fun. And I went on this last October to the Caribbean. A lot of the guys from SYN New York were there, SYN Philly, DC Young Positives. We had a blast. Some really hot guys, really great guys. Everybody had fun. It was Love Boat. I think almost everybody had some romance.
And where can they find information on today?
Even if it was just 15 minutes,
they
can find information at HIVcruise.com. So we started our own cruise with Paul, First Sin, just for gay men and their friends and family. You don't have to be positive to go, but you do have to be signed up with somebody who is. And
so you guys, check that out at www.HIVcruise. We're about to close out. Brian, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it so much. You're an inspiration, man.
Thank you so much.
Brian,
you're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Okay.
Bye. What a
Keep
pleasure.
Up the great work.
You too. Thank you so much.
And remember, you can find more about Jeremy Dunn at www.positivelyspeaking.com. That's positively with a Z. And you can check us out at posim.com. You all have a good night. See you next week, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.